Hello, Trojan fans. This is USCFootball.com publisher Ryan Abraham, and we have a very special treat for you this week, in addition to our normal Peristyle podcast. Because this is signing day, we wanted to bring you an extra Trojan blast that you can check out. We will post it up on PeristylePodcast.com, where you can always find our Peristyle podcast each and every week, and it'll also be on USCFootball.com. But basically, we wanted to bring you some extra audio, a bunch of quotes, and audio from Pete Carroll from his press conference today. So he spoke for about 35 minutes or so. He gave a fairly long monologue on what was going on with the class, explained that it wasn't quite over yet, and he went through each player and kind of what he likes about him and what he's bringing to the table. And then afterwards, he answered a lot of questions from the media. This was all taking place at Heritage Hall on the USC campus. So we will give you that right now, the Pete Carroll audio from his press conference today. Again, if you want to check it out and check out other podcasts and stuff, you can always go to peristylepodcast.com. If you have any questions for us in the future, you want to talk about on future podcasts, just email us podcast@uscfootball.com. So here is Pete Carroll at his press conference today.
Just wrapping up the bulk of what's going on in recruiting for us for this, this recruiting season. Exciting night and day, as it always is, of all of the action and things going on. We have put together a diversified class that met that we needed to get more guys on defense and on offense. We were able to get that done. I think that I say diversified because the guys that are in this class are such dynamic football players, and they have so much ability to add so much to our football team that we're really excited about it. If you look at our roster and how it shifted this year, with all of the offensive guys coming back and the defensive guys, more so leaving, we really felt the need to find the linebackers and the defensive ends in particular, and also make sure that we address the issue of the age of our guys that are playing our safety positions, and we were able to hit that in a big way. So there's overloaded on the defensive side. Offensively, when you start off with the best player in the country at quarterback and Matt Barkley, and he's already here in school, it's an extraordinary boost to your class and a great starting point. And we're thrilled to have Matt here, and he's working and going to be a big part of what goes on in spring football, and we'll be right in the thick of the quarterback competition that's obviously at hand and we understand. I'm going to do it. Just kind of talk about the offensive guys first, and then we'll go back to the other side. Talk about Matt, the receiver that comes into us from Birmingham High School, Devon Flournoy, is an extraordinarily dynamic receiver in that he's a big play guy with great speed, makes all kinds of plays, and a terrific kick returner as well. Has made plays on defense throughout. And when I say dynamic, I think these guys, so many of these guys crossed over and did so many things in their play time that we want him as a wide receiver. We want him at our Z spot. So we're really pumped about him. He's a track guy, very, very fast, and an explosive kid on the football field and on film. I had the good fortune to see him in person throughout his career, and I've always loved the way this guy plays. Kevin Graff is a guy that is a big kid that's been around our program for years. He came to our camps. I think he was coming to the 8th grade camps when he was about in 4th grade. He was such a big kid. And he's been around us forever. His family is an SC family. His brother played here. His father played here. Just an offensive lineman from the day they were born. Kevin is a great kid. He's playing basketball for Agoura now. We expect him to come in here as a tackle. He's one of the most complete players that we've had at the offensive line at this early age, and I think a great deal of credit goes to his coaches, of course, but his upbringing with his family and in our camps and everything. He's really, really well equipped and could vie for the best kid at his position up against anybody you can see in the country, so we're really thrilled about him. John Martinez comes in to us from Utah, a kid that we're going to play at center. John was the guy that grabbed our attention early on because he's an extraordinary effort guy. He played very much like Jeff Byers did when he captured our attention a long time ago, and in that he finishes and runs downfield and makes hits and has shown great versatility in playing all the different spots on the O-line. But we've talked to John from the beginning about coming in here and being a center for us, and he's championed the cause. He was the number one guard in the country on some scales. Throughout this recruiting preparation, he's a great kid and a very, very tough hombre. So we're really fired up about him. Simeone is the first time in a while we've really been able to hit a fullback, and we're thrilled about getting that done. Simeone is a guy that played a lot of defense as well as playing in the running back spot and as a true fullback in his high school program. He was a kid that was a nose tackle at one school, transferred schools, and when their coaches found out that he could run really fast and that he was a really versatile athlete, they made him a running back, and he just kind of blasted on the scene in 1 year's time. Kenny found him out there in the islands when he was out recruiting, and we fell in love with Simi. And so he's coming in truly as a fullback for us. We've had a hard time finding guys that really fit the bill, and we're anxious to do that, but Simi is one of those guys. So he's going to come in with an opportunity to do that, of course. And also be a special teams kid because of all of the good work he's had as a linebacker as well. So, excellent kid. To finish off on that side of the ball, and I think anytime you have the good fortune to get a kicker and a punter combined, it's an enormous advantage for us. Jake Harfman is that guy that comes to us, Mount Sac College, junior college. We're hoping that he'll be able to, you know, he will definitely compete for all of those duties, from kickoffs to the place kicks to the punting. What we do know is Jake has an enormous leg, and very much as we've grown accustomed with David Beeler and the big booming kicks, Jake does all of that. So at least we know that he's going to come in and do that, and then he's going to vie for the place kicking duties and also the punting job that's there. So we're really fired up about that. That's a great boost to our special teams, and I know Coach Snyder's really pumped about it. So we're real pleased with that one. On the other side of the ball, where we needed this emphasis, we needed the numbers. We lost a number of kids that played a lot of football for us, and the linebacker spots, and also outside at the rush spots. We went hard there. The first guy, in talking about a dynamic football player and athlete, L.A. Jordan High School, James Boyd, is an extraordinary kid. I don't know how much you guys know about him, but to know that he was an MVP player in his league as a quarterback, but he also caught passes and ran the football and played receiver and tight end at different times in their offense, and was an extraordinarily effective defensive end and rusher. And they spotted him in everywhere you can think of. And he's leading his conference in scoring right now, leading the city, I think, in scoring and rebounding in hoops. He's just an extraordinary all-around athlete. We've never had a guy that could do that much that's coming in here to play at the defensive end spot. So, you know, I look back and think of all of the guys we've had that have played so well, and to try and think of Kenichi being a quarterback, you know, or Lawrence Jackson being, you know, a leading scorer, you know, in basketball. This is a very, very skilled athlete, and we're really pumped about him. That he's coming with us and looking forward to all the things that he brings. A very, very well-rounded athlete. Kevin Green is a guy that we have recruited out of San Francisco. Kevin is a guy that's played a defensive end spot. We've seen him run very, very fast. He's got great speed and size. He could play defensive end and outside linebacker. He has that kind of body type at 6'3", 230, 70 is, that he could play both those spots. We're going to see how he fits in wherever it best suits him. But we're really excited about him because he runs so fast and gets up the field rushing the passer, and you never have enough guys that can do that. So Kevin's also a basketball player and a really good one at that, and a kid we're real fired up about. Patrick Hall is one of the most diversified athletes, dynamic kids you can imagine. He can play everything. We saw him years ago from St. Bonaventure as a linebacker. It's the first time we ever saw him. He was an undersized linebacker at the time as a sophomore, but it showed all of the instincts about and knows for the football and the savvy that great football players have. He's been a running back, a receiver. He's played safety and linebacker and corner. He's done all of that. He's a tremendous kick returner. And so Patrick is a guy that really comes in. We want to see him on the defensive side of the ball, but it won't take us long to continue to find ways and experiment with him in terms of getting the ball in his hands. One of the fastest kids that we've seen in a long time, and so we're really fired up about Patrick. The next guy from Las Vegas is Torin Harris, cornerback that is in the mold of Kevin Thomas and Terrell Thomas. Tall, long, long-levered kid, real fast, ran 10-6 as a junior last year, so he's got great speed. Of course, in his offense and on his team, he played running back and caught passes, returned kicks. A lot of big plays on the defensive side, turning the ball over with interceptions and things. I mean, just a really, really gifted all-around athlete. So, again, he's one of those guys that can do a lot of stuff. We're going to feature him as a corner. He looks perfect. Let me see. I think I'm one guy. I want to talk about Byron Moore from right here in Narbonne High School is also going to come in and play cornerback for us. Byron was another guy that did everything. He played all over the football field for his team. He's got great ability, great speed, a dynamic football player, scores touchdowns from everywhere, catches passes, runs out of the backfield, safety and corner in high school, and we think is an extraordinarily gifted kid that – gives us great diversity. He can do all of the things that you want a terrific football player to do. So he's a big get for us. I'm going to stay with the DBs here. Next guy I got here is a safety, T.J. McDonald from Edison High School up in Fresno. This kid is just a prototype looking safety. He looks just like the guys we've had over the last few years. He's over 6'2". He's 218 pounds already. Gifted football player, terrific student, great leader, just everything that you're looking for in the kind of kids that we've had before. His dad played here at SC, Tim McDonald, and played when I was coaching at the 49ers. Was a great all-pro safety in the NFL. And interestingly, they're just like the spitting image of each other. I mean, they're the same size and stature and playmaking ability and leadership qualities and all of those things. That we're just thrilled to get. next up, go up front, the number one rated defensive end in the country, Devon Kennard, is an extraordinary football player. Again, you know, you think of a defensive end, you know, you think of a guy just rushing a passer. He can cover, he can rush. He's a great edge rush guy. He can play one-on-one coverage on tight ends and shadow receivers when he has to. He's played on the offensive side of the ball. Just a gifted player that has a tremendous upside, and we think he's got a chance to help us right away and be a factor in our the rush corps from the beginning. Really excited about what he brings us. let me see here. What else we'll get to. Next guy up is defensive tackle Loney Fangupo, Hebron, his nickname Loney. This is a kid that comes to us from Mount SAC College, junior college. Very active football player, 320-pound kid, great size and quickness, really good quickness at the line of scrimmage. Initial quickness is there, the kind of explosion and playmaking ability that you love. I mean, it's, you know, coincidental that that opportunity opens up at the three technique with Feely taking off, and here comes another big 300-pound kid that can do and fit the bill. So we'll work him at both tackle spots, but we'd love to see him compete at that spot and see how we could fit in. And we see him as a pass rusher as well as a run defender, a good run stopper. So, you know, we love that he's got the girth already, and he's a very explosive player. Okay, next one up is let me jump into the linebackers here. First kid, a local kid from Dominguez High School, Marquise Simmons, is a kid that has been a star player for his school for a number of years, has been a leading tackler and a guy that just makes everything happen, an obvious penetrator, a guy that rushes, blitzes very well. He's an outside backer, kind of speed guy to play for us, runs sideline to sideline, a kid that we've watched grow up in the program and watched him for years, Melvin Simmons, little brother, and we've known the family for a long time, so we're very excited about Marquise coming in. Obviously, in the linebacker spot, where we need this surge of competition and playmaking ability to step up with the guys taking off. The next kid from Columbus, Georgia, Jarvis Jones, is an amazing football player. He's got great size. He's 6'3". He's 230-something pounds. He's an all-around athlete, explosive, dynamic, an excellent basketball player. Might have a chance to play on the basketball team. I mean, he's that kind of an athlete that attacks and rushes up the field, is a great blitzer, a terrific cover guy. I mean, he's just we're just ecstatic that we were able to get Jarvis. Todd McNair and Kenny did a great job in recruiting him and bringing him to us. We think he's going to have a chance to play and contribute and vie for play time and immediately when he gets here. He's just perfectly statured for that. Another really exciting player for us that we see as a will linebacker, where Kaluka Maeva and Keith Rivers played for us, Frankie Telfort from Miami, Florida. It's the first kid that we've recruited from Miami. Frankie is very, very fast. He ran under 4.4 a couple weeks ago in his workouts. He's just so explosive and such a feisty kid. Also, a kid that led their football team as the play caller on defense, has enormous understanding of defensive football and adjustments and stuff that would knock you out, like way, way beyond anybody we've ever talked to about understanding how to make checks and audible and change defenses and talk like he's a junior or senior in college and maybe even more than that. So we're thrilled about him. Guy that wants to be a doctor, going to go to med school and do some great stuff there as well. Did I get them all? Okay. I think that what we have is just a really fast, versatile group of guys. I think this what happened in this recruiting effort is we were surprised in a couple directions here. We were surprised a couple kids that we were recruiting thought we had a really good chance to get that for one reason or another, wound up going somewhere else. We were surprised that we were able to land a couple of these kids from out of state, Jarvis and Frankie and a couple other guys we continue to recruit that are still out there yet to make their final decisions. So that we're in position to again put together a group of guys that will help this football team this year, and they're going to not just add depth, but they're going to vie for playing time, and with the speed that we covet so much, can continue to help us in many ways in this football team. So it's been a really good, tough, competitive days here in recruiting in both directions, and I think we've been very fortunate. I think the guys that put it together, the in-close guys, recruiting force, and the guys that did the outreach stuff and the long-distance recruiting just worked like crazy and did a beautiful job. So there you go. Yes?
It seems like every year there's a few more surprises for everyone. Is that just the nature of the business, or is it seem that way to you too?
No, I think it's been like this for years. When you take shots at guys that are so good that they can, they have 30s and 40s scholarships offered to them, and they've got coaches coming and going, it's hard to tell sometimes how it's going to wind up. And it goes in both directions, and every year you never get all the guys that you want. We always are left wanting those three or four other guys that you wish you could have nailed in the process, but it's also the three or four guys that you get from other schools, they feel the same way about it, and so it there's a there's kind of a give and take there that that's just what happens in recruiting. It's interesting that you can recruit all the way to the very end of the process and think things are going one way and you don't have a shot at a guy, or you have a shot at a guy, and if you keep working and you stay up late and you stay after it, stuff happens, and so this was a really competitive couple days here, whereas we never are going to ever be satisfied when we don't get everybody that we want, but we know that we got a great class, and from top to bottom, this is an extremely competitive bunch of guys.
Were you as surprised as everyone else seemed to be that Teo went to Notre Dame?
It was part of his choices all along. He visited there early, had a great visit and all, and he liked that and the history of the program and all that for quite some time. So they were always in it, he's a great player, and we battled in that one all the way through thick and thin to the end of it, and he had his heart set on going there.
Did he call you to let you know he wasn't coming here?
Yeah, we talked about it. We talked about all that. At great length. At great length.
How does this year's class impact what you guys are going to be looking to do in 2010 as far as positions of need? I guess that have shaped up after what?
Yeah, there's a couple things that happened here, with the safety position in particular. Right now you see Taylor Mays and Will Harris, kind of blossoming there in the late part of the season, and Josh Pinkert in that position as well some of the time. those three guys are all going to be gone. And so this is a really big year for us to make sure that we get, you know, competitive guys that can battle for playing time right now, but will be able to help us when that fallout occurs. That's an indication of that. We'll lose. Last year's recruiting class in the offensive line was really important because this next year there's going to be a number of guys that'll take off. So, and the guys that add to this group here are all starting to get ready to fill those spots and make sure that we're not caught with a whole bunch of young guys having to play and not prepared and all that. So there's some look there. Getting Jake Harfman, solidifies the kicking situation for us, and we'll have good competition still with Joe Houston at the place kick spots, and Jordan Congdon as well. But that's still that's a good spot for us to nail for the future, next couple of years. For the future to have Matt Barkley, coming in on this thing and going after the competitive opportunity, but knowing that you have him for 4 years coming up and is. You have a great player that's working his way up into the system. That gives us the security of knowing that we have the kind of play potential over the long haul that we've had, for the years we've been winning and all that. So that's a good deal for us as well. And we don't know how far he can take the competition, but we know he's going to be here for a long time. So those are the kinds of things.
Were there areas this year that you weren't able, that you wanted to address and weren't able to?
We just would have gone for more depth, at a couple spots. But we got guys in all the spots that we had to get guys in. So the running backs, there's no running backs in this class, but the next year's class will really obviously be a big deal for us. But we thought that we could go with the group that we had. We're excited about that group now and didn't have to get another guy this year. Although there's it's never over, and recruiting's still out there, and so there's still some exciting times ahead here. This recruiting season, it may be a little different than other ones. There are some really, really quality players that have not decided what they're doing yet, and so we'll continue to operate very aggressively in as long as there's opportunities there for us, and we're excited about some stuff that's going, still coming. We still have guys planning on visiting, so we'll go well beyond the signing date in this one.
In terms of numbers, how many more offers could you
pull? We just have a couple spots that we could come up with. Then there's a few guys there's a few guys still out there, so we're excited about having the opportunity to still stay in the hunt and see if we can get something done there.
You have a lot of pass rushers in this class and a lot of guys who can defend the pass. Is that in any way a product of or a reaction to kind of the way the college football is trending toward all the wide open passing?
Well,
maybe it's trickled down to the high school level, and there's just a lot.
No, that's a good observation. That is definitely half of our schedule is wide open spread offenses, the other half is pretty more fundamental classic football than that. We're always looking for fast guys. We're always looking for edge players. With the way that. Like Devon Kennard is a guy that plays like an outside linebacker at defensive end. He can look the part in both manners. And you've seen us in the last, if you watch the transitions over the last couple of years, we're at one time Kush was playing in the defensive end spot with Dallas Sartz, and then when Dallas took off and Kush went back and Everson showed really good promise there playing as a defensive end, we were a little more classically looking like a 4-3 team. And then when Clay Matthews really just exploded on the scene last year, he got us back into a four linebacker principle, which for us, I've always told you, it's just interchangeable in our thinking. It has to do with the athletes. And so we have a couple different guys that could really play the Sam or the Leo spot, or it could be true defensive ends. And so we just need to see sort it out as we go through it. But we lost three guys last year at the defensive end spot. So, with Clay and Kyle and Joe Washington leaving, so we had to hit that spot big right now. And we're still thin there. Even with the guys coming in, it's still a thin position, and guys will be will be involved in the playtime right from the beginning. So, we're always looking to be faster so that our perimeter game is always there for us to match up with the teams that do want to play with always with three and four wide receivers.
There are always deep guys who commit and then decommit. I'm sure it seemed like there was maybe more of that on a national scale, and even here some more guys were long-time commitments and then kind of backed out the last
year. Yeah, I'll level with you on that one. It seems like guys that committed really early you know, had a hard time sticking with it, and it, you know, and we saw that around the country. You know, there's an obvious effect there. Guys that have committed really early, and everybody that's recruiting the kids know where he's going. All focus their attack on one school. When they don't know where a guy's going, they're battling with everybody's issues. So it does, you know, it does lend it to you know, a kid's under barrage, you know, more so when they commit early. So we've noticed that for years, you know, and particularly when you go out of state and you're in some of the smaller states, you know, that have predominant state schools and all of that, you know, that it's hard on those kids and hard on the families, and we've seen the impact of that in both directions. You know, we've been able to make it through some of those battles, but we've also seen that late on in the recruiting process, it's hard on the kids to continue to hold on to their commitments.
Can you fight that by maybe not taking as many early commitments, or?
Well, there's ways you have to deal with it. I mean, you got to do what you got to do in every case. We feel we have to deal with it individually, but we're well in tune with letting families and kids know that if you commit early, this is going to put you in this kind of position, and prepare them for it. And sometimes the families are willing to go for it in that manner, and sometimes they don't, you know, and they realize it and they change their tack there somewhat. So this was a particularly exciting couple days. Now, stuff was flying, you know, and everybody was working hard, and it was fun, you know. We couldn't get a wink of sleep last night, you know, and that's part of this deal, you know. It was awesome and it was fun and exciting and all that. And we battled every one of them, you know, we're slugging it out through the process, and it was really fun. Good challenge.
What can Barkley already being enrolled, what can I do for him for the quarterback competition?
Gosh, it's all you could hope for. In this situation that came up, you know, when we were recruiting Matt a long time ago, you know, we talked about the opportunity that Mark Sanchez might have if he hits it right and he's really a great football player, maybe he has the opportunity of coming out early. And sure enough, I mean, right after the day we were in here and we were doing our thing with the podium and all that, you guys remember? We went right back into our staff meeting, or in the team meeting, and one of the first guys I ran into was Barkley, you know, and he's looking at me, his eyes were like this, you know. And I said, it happened, didn't it? You know, here you go, just what we talked about and what you were dreaming about. Well, here you go. So he is here ready to take full advantage of jumping in with both feet to give himself the best opportunity to battle against Mitch and Aaron and Garrett and see how far he can take it. You know, as we will always do, the newest guys to us are the ones that we need to see the most. And so our young guys come in here and we throw them right to the front and put them in with the first group and start looking at them and how they fit in with the guys that have been around the program to see how they handle it and to see where they fit and to see if they're comfortable with that level and see how they've prepared to get themselves, you know, and avail themselves for these opportunities. And Matt's going to be one of those guys. You know, we've had the work from the other kids in the last, you know, these last couple camps and things, and now Matt's going to get a great look, and we want to find out where he fits in and try to gain that information and that knowledge to help us, you know, go about, you know, deciding how to map out the competition as we go through it. And it's always my job to give the guys a really good competitive opportunity. You know, it doesn't do a guy any good to just sit back and watch around here. You got to get out there and play and show us who you are and what you're all about. And so we'll try to do a fantastic job at doing that, and we'll, you know, see where that takes us. But it is a great asset. You know, not only that, he'll be so much better transitioned for the summertime, and he'll instead of just getting into the late session of summer school, he'll have a chance for both sessions of summer school. And that, you know, when we graduate, or when we finish the year early in May, he'll be in the first session and the second session. All of those little additions just make him that much closer to being prepared and competitive, and it'll put the heat on the other guys. You know, obviously that's what this is all about. It's competition, and we'll be talking about it a lot. You guys will get sick about it, and sick of it, but. You won't get sick of me, though, right, Gary? You just get sick of me.
How has the recruiting process changed over the 8 or 9 years you've been here?
We can reach out now. You know, we can get out there a lot better than we could at the beginning, the first couple of years across the country. You know, guys early on that made a difference. You know, the kids from New Jersey, Mike Williams doing a, you know, big time job of coming in and contributing as a freshman, and Cush and Dwayne and. Keith Rivers and all those guys have given us, Patrick Turner, have given us the ability to really have a scope where we can find a battle, ground out there. I think we have 7 guys or something like that from out of state, you know, in this group and something like that. That's a good number for this, you know, for the commitments that we have. So our scope and our visibility is there. it has also changed drastically in that how other people recruit against us. You know, the success that we've had and the success we've had in recruiting over the years has made, you know, enough headlines and got enough visibility where people recruit against us and talk constantly to our kids like they won't be able to play here, and we keep proving them wrong year after year after year. And I think the success we've had with our young kids playing early. You know, I heard guys on the TV today talking about, geez, it seems like there's a lot of freshmen playing nowadays. You know, well, yeah, that may be true. I don't know what the numbers are, but we've believed in that since we've been here, and I don't know if other people see it that way or not, but it's the truth. You know, we've had tremendous success with our young kids, and particularly the young kids from out of state, making an impact early and being a big factor in this football team. And so that's it. The result of all that has changed somewhat the focus and how it goes. You know, when we got rid of the text messaging thing, that was a great thing. It was really good. You know, that was really accelerating the process with the communication ability of coaches and to the kids, and that got settled. But then now the email thing's back. You know, now you can email, you know, so, and everybody's got emails on their phone, so it's not that far removed from what it was. So, you know, technology, we're like two steps behind, you know, but we're battling it. And that does effectively, create some changes in it. The visibility of the tremendous shows on the networks ESPN, the coverage was extraordinary today, you know, and it has been the last couple of years. And it's almost like draft day now, you know, and all of the kids getting their moments, you know, to express, you know, where they're going, and the hat shuffle and the, you know, all the thing, you know, it's different than it was. And the All-Star games and, you know, the combines, all of that stuff has just continued to escalate and become more effective, really. They're effective tools for all of us in recruiting, and, you know, we'd hate to not have them because they're a great advantage for us. But it also has given kids more exposure for more opportunities, and it's been a beautiful thing. So I don't think it's been a bad thing. It's different, you know. And the bad part of it, and I guess in one sense, is it just seems like things are coming so fast at these young kids, you know, and so early. But you know, we can't stop it. I don't think it's going.
Do you enjoy it now as much as you did a couple years ago?
Yeah. I don't know. It was a blast. You know, I woke up Eddie O last night. You know, and you know, I said, "What are you doing sleeping?" You know, he was about 3:30 in the morning. You know, Eddie O's around, and so he turned around and tried to catch me this morning. You know, thinking he'd wake me up after he got back out there in the East. You know, and you know, so we have there's a certain kind of flavor of how we do this, and I know that up in Washington, Sark, those guys were hitting it hard. Now they were battling up there, and it is fun. Yeah, I still like the heck out of it. I hate when we don't get the guys that we thought we were going to get or we wanted to, you know, but that's part of this game, and you just don't get them all.
How much Jeremy Bates' role the last couple weeks, and how do you use him going forward?
It's been a little bit difficult for Jeremy and Brian Schneider to jump in full, with both feet. They've helped us. Of course, Brian did a great job recruiting Jake, the kicker, and all that, and contributed and helped us out, you know, and we try to catch him up with the flow of things, but not really throw him right in the middle of it. We're just too far down the road. Jeremy jumped right in, you know, with anybody that had to do with offense when they're here on campus and their visits and all of that. You know, they were just here for a couple weeks. So those guys really went through the recruiting weekends and had as much fun as anybody, you know, learning what's going on. So, but they will grow into incredible recruiters. And we just felt like we were so far along with the relationships. Now, the one guy that really hit it and did a good job was Jethro Franklin. And he had to jump right on board with the defensive lineman, and he just went right back into it, you know, and because he'd been with us before. His transition was seamless. He went right into it and was a big factor in Devon Kennard, a big factor in Kevin Green, a big factor in Loney Fangupo, and really solidified those guys. And he's a big personality and a great guy, and coming from the league and all that really added a bunch to us.
Hey, Pete, when you went to sleep last night, how different did this piece of paper look from what you thought was going to happen?
How did you know I went to sleep last night?
Oh, yeah, you did sleep.
No, I know I got to look. I fell off a couple times, but not when Eddie called me though. I was up. Make sure he hears that. I'm sorry, I didn't get the question.
Oh, how different does this piece of paper look right now than what you thought might happen when you at least tried to?
Well, there was kind of like we got guys that we thought would just take a shot at and hope we can get them, and boom, they came on, and then a couple guys that we thought we might be able to nail, boy, they went the other way. So it really just kind of traded spots for us, and the numbers were very close. The fact that there's a few really big-time players that are still out there was important to us, knowing that we might have a shot at them to hold off in a couple spots. So we can be really competitive and aggressive in going after it, and we'll see what happens here, you know. So the numbers of scholarships came out, you know. If we can't hit those guys, then we'll come up a couple short on it, but it's worth the opportunity in having those scholarships available to us. But it was moving now. And it went both ways. We thought we were out, and then bang, we're back in it, and then we're in, and then we're out. You know, it was really crazy. So it was a lot of fun.
Last year with Wanaka.
You guys don't sound like you think that would be fun, but it really is. It's fun.
It sounds like watching CNN on election night and calling the state.
Yeah, we had the maps up, and we had all this.
Did you win Hawaii?
That's the 50th state, right? We went 50-50 in Hawaii.
Last year with Wanaka, you said that you had expected another letter of intent. Do you expect that things are done for today? I know you talked about a few guys that would be visiting in a few weeks.
No, we're not done. No, there's... No, we're still competing today, and we'll really for the next. There's a chance to be competing for the next couple of weeks, the way things are lined up right now.
Do you think any of those go as long as Terrell Pryor did last year?
I don't know. Yeah, there's one of them that could go a long time. Yeah, yeah.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think guys are taking that much? It's sort of a new trend that's happening now.
Because the uniqueness of the situation, I can't talk much about it, but the uniqueness of the situation allows one prospect he can wait. You know, he can wait it out. So, I don't know if it's a trend or not, but you know, these are really highly rated players, and they've got a big decision, and you know, they have the opportunity to take the time, so they're utilizing it. You know, this is the first day you can sign, not the last day. You know, so it seems like it, you know, you have to hurry up and sign. You know, but that's not really the case.
You got all these guys signed, but I guess how many of these guys right now still have work to do academically to get?
This is a really good academic class for us. This is one of the best we've ever had, and the group GPA is really big, and we've got a couple of kids going to business direction, a couple of kids going in the medical field direction. There's always a few kids that we'll be watching, but we wouldn't be this far along unless we thought everybody's going to make it. You know, we don't take chances on guys. We think we're very, very focused on making sure that our guys are going to get a great shot at getting this done. But there's always some things that can occur, so we have to, take care of our business.
What would you tell guys who are interested in taking a mission or going on a mission after they start school?
Well, we have never had a guy go on a mission, very few of the guys we've ever recruited really even talked about it. And it, we don't have a lot of background in that, but we just take every case individually and see what the situation is and talk with families and all that kind of stuff.
Would Tao have been allowed to go on a mission? Or were you giving him
the guys in this class that the guys in this class that were. Considering that we're all in the same boat and that we would, we were going to entertain the thought to do it, supporting them in every way. Yeah, we were in the thought that we were going to support them in whatever they wanted to do and help them through that the best we could. We good? All right. We did just a couple days ago got the word on Josh Pinkert that he finally got his full clearance to come back. Interestingly, I think the same day that happened, Josh also got invited to the combine, to go with the NFL. But Josh is committed on coming back, and we're really, excited. This has always been one of my favorite guys in the program, and to see Josh get another chance to play for SC is. Along with Jeff Byers, those guys have definitely been here a long time. You remember back to Jeff Byers, just to digress for a moment. Jeff came in here in the mid-year of his high school senior year, so he's been here forever. He might have been here as long as I've been here. I don't know. I think he may have. But we're thrilled to have those guys. They're great, great team guys and great performers for us.
That concluded what we had in the press conference in the Varsity Lounge of Heritage Hall, but he did gather with the media outside afterwards, some of the beat reporters, talking to them, answering a little more candid questions. This first one he was answering was talking about Manti Te'o. I've got about 11 minutes of audio from this one. So here's Pete Carroll addressing the beat writers about what was going on with this 2009 recruiting class. First question up was all about Manti Te'o.
We had him, didn't have him, and, you know, and went the other way as well. We didn't have him, then we got him. I mean, we went back and forth with guys. We were all over that one, you know, because he just visited. And, you know, he was up all night trying to figure it out.
What did he say? You know, what he called?
I'm not that's the person you need to ask him.
Did you try and talk him out of it?
That's what he's doing.
No, sure, they're family battling now. I didn't say that much.
He did as many of the guys do, you know, they make the call and the people that they battled with all along. You get so close to everybody that everybody feels the obligation to make an effort and do their best.
A lot of out-of-state guys. What do you look for when you're going out-of-state?
We're looking for number one draft picks. Clearly. The guys who think they will wind up being number one draft picks. That's always been the criteria. It doesn't always have to be just height, weight, speed stuff. It's performance. We're looking for guys we think will fit into that kind of category. And we're trying to find the best kid in the states, that we're going in. And arguably, that's kind of what, in what position we're going up in. That's arguably what these guys are. So, and it's why, it's because they're such high-level players, that's why we've come here to do it. It's a really big time player. You only have so many best guys in the state, it's worked out.
How surprised are you with the lack of experience on the team? You couldn't sign a middle linebacker.
Well, we didn't really look at it to try to get a middle linebacker. We have linebackers, so we're trying to get guys. We have enough flexibility with the guys we have. We're just trying to get the best guys we could get at the spots. And, so hopefully, we'll figure it out. If you look at Jarvis Jones playing inside, he's listed sometimes as a defensive end, other times an outside linebacker. If you see him in the film when he's an inside linebacker, he was more spectacular there in our evaluation. So he can play everywhere. And Frankie was, in our system, guys that play the Will and the Mike spots, are behind the line of scrimmage most of the time. And Frankie Telford can do that. He can play just like Keith and Kaluka and Cooney can play. So he's a player that's a little bit smaller than some guys, but he's way faster than anybody we've ever had. And so, we're hoping that attribute will really, let him jump out and contribute.
He's the fastest linebacker.
Yeah, he ran 4.39 2 weeks ago in the workout. So that's remarkable.
But you went from maybe signing the top two middle linebackers in the nation to none. So that's a big change.
We're all the guys, they were all part of me. We were trying to get everybody, everybody that we could. And we were surprised when we were able to get Frankie and Jarvis, so those guys kind of, they boosted it up, and a couple of guys go the other way, and they boosted us back up again.
Just with the three big guys that maybe fell in and didn't, how big a factor were parents in the situations there?
Well, it always looms as a huge factor, sometimes it works for you and sometimes it works against you that, kids from long distance, the parents say, I don't want a kid to leave the state, I want to stay close to home. That definitely jumped up and you have to recruit the parents as well as the kids, and figure out, who's going to make the call. And sometimes it's that's the biggest challenge, is to make sure you're on the right one, with the right emphasis.
You talked a little bit about how crazy this year was. What did you learn from kind of the craziness?
Just the old lesson that you have to continue to figure out who's going to make the call, in the family situation. Sometimes it's the coach, sometimes it's a mentor, sometimes it's a big brother. It could be the mom or the dad, it could be anybody. You have to figure that part out. And there were some in this class in particular, there were some individual family
connections that really played a huge part in the decisions of kids. And I'm talking about five different guys, and I'm talking on in both directions. Guys that came here because the parents really championed the cause of kids coming out here, you know. And so you don't always get that on the far away, you know, in the recruits. And so, you know, I mean, I can't say it was all parents all fighting against us in this case, because we had some remarkable families that really saw this as a great opportunity and gave us the chance to get kids when you normally wouldn't, you know, or it would be very difficult.
It all has to play out with how these guys develop, but yeah. How would you compare, at least on signing day, this class to some of the...
I don't know that, you know, with when you have a chance at the quarterback in the class, I mean, I think in this last year, we didn't, is that right? We didn't, remember we talked about that, we didn't have the quarterback last year. It's hard to get better than what we just did. We just got the best quarterback in the country in a situation where we need a guy to jump in here and battle for the, you know, playing time. So I think that's huge, and this is one of the rare times when it happened kind of like that. It happened with John David as well. But remember, John was really young at the time, so it was he wasn't able to capture, you know, that opportunity. This is the first time we've had this. And I don't want to only be talking about Matt. It happens to be his recruiting class, but, you know, he's up against it with the other kids. But this is the probably the rarest opportunity for a guy with the experience, with the play behind him, and also the fact that he's in school early, you know. He really has hit it exactly right for, you know, for a guy to make a run at this thing.
You said that Frankie was the first guy you guys were able to get out of Miami. Why had you not gone there for other guys before?
No, we have been down there, and we got really close to a couple kids, and one of the best linebackers we've seen in the last few years, all the way up to this, you know, called off with the parents, you know, he was coming, you know, kind of thing a year ago. So, you know, just hadn't been able to take anybody out of there. It is an absolute hotbed, you know. So many schools recruit there, not just the Florida schools, but all of the Southeast, and all of the big-time northern schools come down, too, because you can land in Miami, you know, and there's a tremendous talent pool down there. It's just been hard for us, you know, so this was the first real guy. And this is a really well-rounded kid. He's a great student, and I'm fired up as can be about it, you know.
When did you know he was going to come?
Well, you know, until the bell rang on the fax machine, and you know, everything else is going whatever you want to. But in this weekend, for this Wednesday's group, he had it all the way to the bell ring. That's really a lot happened.
Have you ever been surprised with one of those fax shuffles? Or actually not knowing what was going to happen on one of those?
Oh no, yeah, we've been surprised. Surprises can happen in the midst of the shuffle, even, you know. But usually if you don't know and you see the hat shuffling, you're out.
How does Kennard compare to Griffin coming out of high school?
He's a little different player, different style player. Devon looks kind of more experienced at doing more things, you know, as a stand-up guy and all that kind of stuff. If you remember, Everson was a more accomplished tailback. He played a lot of tailback for his team, and Devon did play some offense, but he just seems to be really well versed in playing on the edge, and he can, you know, give you the look as an outside backer just as well, get down the stance and come on off the corner. Yeah, and he has a great chase like Everson did, so they have some similarities, both pass guys. He looks a little more improved in the position. Everson's a little more of a raw athlete.
So one of these kids is like, you really say as a sleeper, he's like maybe way better than maybe people realize athletically or whatever. Is there one?
Well, I don't. You guys couldn't have as much background on Jarvis. You wouldn't know as much about him. You know, if you guys haven't seen him or heard that much about him. Frankie Telford, you wouldn't know either. The local kids, Byron Moore is a really versatile, all-around athlete. He can do a lot of stuff. And then, you know, Patrick, there's nobody that's done, you know, shown more kind of spiked plays at different positions and different situations than him, you know, blocking kicks and intercepting and taking balls away from guys. And not, but the other one would be, I mean, is James Boyd, too. Because this guy, this is a remarkable story of a guy that can do so much. I think he's leading the city in scoring and rebounding right now. Last week he had a 43-point game at 28 boards, and he had a He had a 34-point game and 28 boards, and I think the other night was 25 and 22. I mean, this is an unbelievable kid. And remember, this is the kid that threw the ball 70 times against modern day, you know, and gave him a run for it, you know, with a squad of about 20 guys, 26 kids on the team. You know, so this is a very unusual kid.
You ever had a quarterback defensive lineman?
No, that's what I'm saying. We've never had a guy. You know, that's why he's the most well-versed athlete we've ever tried to play at the spot. Think of any of the guys that we've had, you know, trying to do those things, you know. And none of those guys could play the hoops like that, let alone drop back and throw passes all year long and stuff.
How did you get Byron Moore back after decommitting and stuff like that?
Keep battling, you know. Keep battling. He loved SC. He loved the school, and his family loved it and all that. He was just, you know, he was a guy that was just, you know, trying to figure it out, and his heart was really being at SC. He had to go made a couple visits at the end to kind of make sure and ensure that, and I'm not surprised that he came back, because I know how much he loves SC. So I was more surprised that, you know, that he wavered in there, you know, was wondering if it was the right thing and all that, and you know that he's a. Our guys really do get focused in on when they commit early now. I mean, there's so much that other, you know, schools will talk about, and it's basically about, you know, the competition and all that kind of stuff. But the kids that come are the kids that are ready and can't wait for the competition. They're the kids that aren't worried about who else is playing at their spots. They know they're going to play. And I've said that before, that's really that you can hear them. You can hear them talk. They don't even worry that, because they know they're going to play, and they do. I think it amazes people that kids play so early here, you know, I think it's because of the philosophy that pushing them to the front and giving them the chance, and not just making guys have to sit on the back row and wait a couple of years. You know, we don't think that way here. And I think a lot of people are thinking that way now. You're seeing what the freshmen can play if you go about it in an aggressive manner.
Thanks for listening to this very special edition of the Peristyle Podcast. We call it a Trojan Blast. A little extra audio for you guys this week, a little extra podcast. We'll be back next week for our one-year anniversary on the Peristyle Podcast. Remember, you can check us out, peristylepodcast.com, of course, uscfootball.com. We will see you all next week.